are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Now, we know that God's grace is the cornerstone of salvation. We've heard that a million times before, right? A gift that we could never earn but freely receive through Jesus Christ. This transformative power meets us in our brokenness and lifts us into a new life of purpose and joy. But how well do we understand the depth of God's unconditional love? We're going to be diving into the saving grace that changes lives forever. And to join us and guide us through this conversation throughout this week, we're joined by Pastor Kane Cross. My Pastor, good morning and welcome to the Mid-Morning Empowerment.
Good morning, Bongi. I trust you are well. Good morning to our listeners.
Thank you so much,
Pastor.
I'm
blessed today.
I'm doing well as well. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for asking. And we're happy to have you. Thank you for making time to speak with us this week.
I'm happy to be here, and I'm looking forward to a blessed time in the Lord.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now, Pastor, we're speaking about the transformative power of God's grace. Perhaps we can start with a word of prayer before we get into our first question.
Indeed, indeed. Let us pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, that we can be on air today and to share the good news of salvation and the saving grace of Jesus Christ. And may you bless us today. May you bless each listener, and especially the one that's battling and going through something. May grace find them as you are looking to save us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Now, Pastor, today we're talking about grace that saves. And like you said, there's someone out there who's really not sure if grace will ever find them. So hopefully this conversation will be able to uplift them and bring them to a place where they can be confident in the grace of God. Now, let's start with the biblical definition of grace. What does the Bible say grace is, and why is it central to salvation?
Yes, of course, we find various statements in the and one of the more popular ones about grace mm-hmm. is Paul's exposition in Ephesians 2, verse 8 and 9. And I read, "For by grace you have been saved through faith."
Amen.
"And this not from yourself. It is a gift of God. It's not obtainable by works, lest any of us should boast." So I think that lays a good foundation for us, Bongi, that mm-hmm. we realize that the saving power of God is beyond us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and often we find people battling with forgiving themselves yeah. because they do not make peace, that they cannot do much for themselves. It is God who saves. It is grace. He's unmerited. Towards us. And Paul puts it beautifully, fully saved by grace. And that is one part of it
mm-hmm.
That the biblical definition is. Will you allow me to give one more?
Please.
Yes. So I believe that we are all products of grace.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we think of grace, and everybody have a testimony and a story to tell. But all our stories is laced by grace.
Mm.
You know, it has this one thread through it that we have been saved undeservingly and still are saved by grace. And most beautiful part that Paul mentions in Titus, and listen to this,
mm-hmm.
and this makes it more real for us. Titus 2 verse 11 reads, "For the grace of God appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires, and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and appearing of the glory of our God and Savior, Christ Jesus, who gave himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed, and purify for himself a people for his own possession, zealous for good works." And that tells me, of course, the Bible is clear that grace was there. There's 200 years of grace in the Old Testament.
Mm-hmm.
And how Noah found grace and the Israelites found grace. But here we find is personified, right? And when Mary was telling her, Mary Magdalene was telling her friends, and she saw Jesus, said, "There go Jesus, save me." That day they wanted to stone me. He saved me, saved by grace. So Jesus was grace imparting as he went around. Of course, and most importantly also to understand is that grace is an attribute of God exercised towards undeserving human beings, Bongi. I hope that brought a little, we can talk all about it. I hope that brought some clarity. Yes.
I think the most beautiful part is, you know, you keep emphasizing about the undeserving, our undeservingness of God's grace. Because I think that's what a lot of people struggle with when we look at ourselves and we see how sinful we are and we see what a perfect and beautiful God he is. It doesn't make sense. Like, why would he love me? Why would he give me a chance? How could I even have a chance to get into heaven knowing how filthy I am? But that's the point of grace. It is for those undeserving souls. It is for us because we are undeserving is the reason why he extends his grace to us.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And we battle in the postmodern quid pro quo world where we barter for everything and where we feel we don't deserve it if we don't pay. I don't want any freebies.
Yes.
And that is the mind of the modern mind. And the unconsecrated and sadly even Christians, church-going believers, the unconsecrated believer that does not understand the length and breadth and depth and height of the love of Jesus and have not experienced it in its fullness will always move with a deficit and wonder, am I saved? You know, am I safe? Am I worthy? Am I worth it? You know?
Wow.
That identity crisis that we find within ourselves, and I'm sure we've all been there, Bongi.
Yep.
Where we doubted and, hey, I think God is done with me.
For sure.
And when we realize who God is, this is important to spend time with God in his word. When we realize who God is and we get to know Jesus and how much he loved me, you know, it's personal. Then my identity Christ is formed and I know who I am in Christ. And I then realize whose I am, created for a purpose, bought back with the blood and destined for eternity. It gives me purpose. It fills my story. It makes me secure irrespective of what my shortcomings is. This side of heaven, I know I'm destined for eternity. So my identity is not in the temporal, but in what God has done and what he's doing for me. And that's grace. That is grace.
Sure. That's powerful. Now, unfortunately, there's someone who's listening right now who's thinking, yeah, that's great for you to say. You're a pastor. You probably live a perfect life. You don't know what it's like. You don't know what I've been through. You don't know what I've done. You don't know how terrible of a human being I am. What can you tell me about grace? So would you be so kind as to maybe share a moment in your life where you experienced God's saving grace? What has been your personal experience with God's grace?
I said in the beginning that I'm a product of grace. I was raised by a single parent, a prayer warrior of note. And, you know, growing up in church comes with blessings and other things. And we sometimes, you know, they say familiarity breeds contempt.
True.
And you don't realize the value until you move away. And unfortunately, I was at one stage in my youth, many years ago, I was a bit disgruntled and found new interests and moved away
Mm.
from God. We were battling. My mother was a single parent. We were battling, and my mother was a prayer warrior. And I thought, wow, she prays, she does good for everybody, but we battling, and I don't have what I would love to have as a young person, and so on. Let me try this path with my friends and all of that. And, you know, grace found me, and like Paul said, the grace of God appeared, bringing salvation to all men. And I always say that there is a warrant of arrest out for all grace haven't found. Grace is looking for you.
Hey.
Grace was looking for me. Grace was looking for me, and grace found me. And without giving too much information, I was saved by grace. But it wasn't a saving that that would be in a beautiful picture book. Was God's way of saving me, but saved nevertheless.
Amen. Amen. That's beautiful.
And yes, and you know what? Let me. I'm not sure how much time we have, but let me say this. Then I also strongly believe, because I am a product of grace, I need to be gracious. I need to
Amen.
To other people, and the grace of God find me when I was a sinner. Prevenient grace find me. And when I came to my senses, I was justified. Justifying grace found me. And currently God is working on me, the work of a lifetime. He's sanctifying grace, the grace that Paul received, the sanctifying grace that we all receive, the unwelcome, uncomfortable grace, grace nevertheless. And one day when Jesus come to save us from the presence of sin, it will still be glorifying grace
Amen.
That will find us.
Amen.
And we will cast our crowns at the feet of Jesus, and all will exclaim, saved by grace, saved by grace. We are here because of grace.
Sure. Powerful. That's powerful. Thank you so much for sharing that, my pastor. Now, why would you say it's essential to share the message of grace with others? Why does it matter?
It matters most importantly because of the misconception,
okay,
and the deficit that we are in, and I don't want to single out any people groups. I grew up in the Eastern Cape, and I know how we grew up there, and what we valued, and so on, and many people grow up in a picture where God's grace is there, but there is something that we need to do.
Right, right.
And yes, and we know what how the church went through in the Dark Ages, and how God used Martin Luther to shine the light and to say we are saved by faith in Jesus alone through grace. You know. And somehow we seem to be there again where people feel, no, I need to do my part.
Yeah.
And I share the grace, and this is my story. This is my life story, my ministry, is that I believe that grace is like a fragrance. It's like a fragrance. And we should. And I pray, Lord, help me to be a blessing to everybody. Help me to be gracious to other people. I'm a product of grace. Help me to be dripping of grace. Wherever I go, puddles of grace must be left behind. And the sweet aroma of the sweet saving grace of Christ must be experienced all over in the orifices of people. And they must know that Jesus saved. And that's why it's not about what we say, but how we treat people. How we make them feel presence, Bongi, counts for more than my words. You know that.
Sure.
So that's why grace need to be fed. Grace need to be lived, sorry. Grace need to be lived. Grace need to be lived. It need to be lived. Come on, man. That
that's
people
beautiful.
Can experience the real Jesus.
Yes. Through our lives.
Through our lives, my sister.
Mm.
Through our life.
Now, how does accepting grace lead to a deeper relationship with God?
And that is important. And when we look at sanctifying grace, many people leave church. Mm-hmm. Many people stay in church as lost coins, spending days in of the church like a lost coin.
Yeah.
And it is because of the expectation, the expectation of God. They are looking for a type of ATM Father Christmas relationship with God, mm-hmm. where if they press certain button and they do that quid pro quo thing, then the right thing will happen and they will be happy in the Lord, you know.
Yeah.
But that's not Christianity. Sanctification is when we are in God's workshop.
Mm.
When we are in God's workshop, and it's important for us to understand the sanctifying grace of God, because yeah. Paul understood it. When we are in God's workshop, my sister, God will do anything and everything to us.
Mm,
He will do anything and everything. He will bankrupt us. He will embarrass us. He will allow us to get ill and all of the above in order to save me for eternity.
Mm,
that's worth more than just a 70 year of bliss this side of heaven.
Yeah.
And when we understand that in its context, and let me go to the text.
Okay.
Let me go to the text. And Paul asked God, and it's found in Corinthians, where Paul was asking God, 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9 and 10, and listen. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness.
Mm.
Therefore, will I boast all the more gladly in my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weakness, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, I am strong.
Amen.
Paul understood it. Paul understood it, and Paul knew that God is God in his life. God will do, and Job understood it. When Job said, I know my Redeemer live, and he will stand on the last day. So in spite of the unbearable grace that God allowed in Job's life,
mm-hmm.
the grace that Joseph went through, the pit, the prison, and right through Potiphar's house and the palace, the grace that was bestowed on Daniel in the lion's den and so on, that is the grace that we need to comprehend. So when it happened, when we are kept longer in the problem, the marriage challenge, the delinquent children, the health, the finances, then we know that God's grace is sufficient for us.
Amen. Amen. That's incredible, because I think a lot of us feel like the grace has been withdrawn when we start going through those things, or when the problems are prolonged. You start wondering, have I done something? Is there something wrong? Is there a sin maybe that I haven't confessed? What's happening? Has God forgotten about me? But you're saying that when we understand the grace of God, we're able to endure all those hardships, recognizing that everything that He allows is ultimately for our eternal salvation.
Definitely. When we read the text correctly in 2 Corinthians 12, 9 and 10, when God say, my grace is sufficient for you, He's talking about the thorn, not He's talking about the thorn, and he's basically telling us that His grace is sufficient, is sufficient for us. The thorn, the experience that you have, the long-term problems, is grace. It's all grace.
Mm.
It's God's grace. Upon us to save us. And one day when we reach heaven, we will also exclaim, like Paul, therefore I boast. Mm. Therefore I boast in my weaknesses, because I know that His grace was sufficient for me.
Amen. Amen. Pastor, thank you so much for your time this morning. I think we can wrap things up right there, and we'll be continuing our conversation tomorow. So please have a wonderful day, And yes, definitely look forward to that. Thank you so much, Pastor.
Blessings to you indeed, my sister. God bless you. Thank you.
Amen. Amen.
You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.